To complete our trilogy of updates, up next is Robert Brown, who is the founding partner of Brown and Hoffmeister. He has argued before the Texas Supreme Court and acts as city attorney for a number of cities. He's a prolific author and speaker on land use and civil rights, and we're glad he's joined us here today to talk about the super preemption bill, House Bill 2127.
Good morning. Glad to be here. Let's see, I'm also an Aggie, so I'm going to see if I can figure out how to work this clicker. So. All right, there we go. All right, well, super preemption bill, Death Star bill, whatever you want to call it, you know, Tad's touched on it. You have a speaker this afternoon, and the 1:30 session is going to touch on it, so you're going to hear a lot about this, although, be honest with you, right now, there's not a lot to say about it other than what the bill provides, what the litigation, the current status of litigation is, how it ultimately be determined or applied. I mean, that's going to be the guesswork, which is really kind of how the litigation started. And kind of as a background, I mean, for decades, Texas has kind of worked under the notion, at least from my perspective, that there was a real value of local control. And the state would regulate things, and then home rule cities, pursuant to the Constitution, the Home Rule Amendment, in essence said, home rule cities, you can basically pass any law that's not in conflict with the state law. And when the state has felt that cities have overstepped their bounds, they have typically taken away that power, but they've done it in somewhat measured and precise terms. I mean, for example, a lot of my cities for years passed, home rule cities passed laws on fracking because they were concerned about the environmental impacts of fracking. The legislature passed a law a few sessions ago, said, no, you can't do that. When the legislature says, all right, no, you can't reduce your police budgets. Here's a law that says you can't do it. No, you can't make a landlord take low-income vouchers. Here's a law that says you can't do it. No, you can't control fracking anymore. Here's a law that says you can't do it. But we've never really had a bill before that had such a broad sweeping preemption without specificity as to what's being preempted or disallowed. And in a minute, I'm going to go over the history, the legislative history of this law as stated in the documents. But what's not in there, and I think it didn't, you know, everybody here kind of knows what's going on. I mean, there's this, been this trend for a number of cycles in the legislature of the Republican-controlled legislature not liking what a lot of the larger cities in the state have done. And most of those larger cities are controlled by Democrats. There's clearly a political thing here, where a city is passing a law saying you got to give somebody a water break or here's leave policy. There's a dynamic there that doesn't show up in the text of the law or the legislative history, but I think that's obviously part of the backdrop. HB 2127, that's what I'm going to call it. It's referred to, some people call it the Death Star Bill, the Super Preemption Bill. The legislature actually gives it a name, which I'll, like the Texas Regulatory Consistency Act, which nobody uses except for the state and the AG's office and their litigation. But this law was effective September 1 of this year. Yeah, Texas Regulatory Consistency Act. But you will not see that referred to anywhere in the media or anything like that. It's just, so I'm going to call it 2127 because that's probably the easiest thing to remember. So what is the legislative history? At least according to the Act, is that there were complaints that home rule cities had begun to regulate beyond their historical boundary and roles, and they were creating a confusing and complex patchwork of requirements across a variety of areas. In other words, businesses didn't know what to do when they went from one town to another town because the laws were all different. Business and trade groups, according to legislative history, complained about this lack of consistency. And what said, you know, we don't know what to do. We go to Houston, we have one set of rules. We go to Dallas, we have another set of rules. We go to Corpus Christi, we have another set of rules. And, of course, the old adage, this will impede economic growth and job creation, especially for small businesses, because small businesses, I guess, are just not smart enough to figure out what the laws are or their jurisdiction, which is a little insulting, I think, legislative history to imply that small business owners aren't able to figure out what's going on at their doorstep in the jurisdiction that they're located in, but that's kind of the presumption that the legislature operates under.